You remember last week, we began a new series, Game On. It's time to change our world. And the idea is too many of us spend too much time as spectators, watching others carry on the game, watching others do the work, watching others serving and making a difference in the kingdom and in the world. Too many of us spend too much of our time either on the bench or in the stands. And I want to challenge us over these next few weeks to say, it's time. Game on. It's time to change our world. And we started last week with a simple three-word prayer. Do you remember what that prayer was? God, use me. A simple prayer. God, use me. Well, this morning, I want us to think about the next step in that, getting to the point where we really change our world, where we get in the game and make a difference. It starts with that prayer, God, use me. You realize when we pray that prayer, we are actually fulfilling Jesus' wishes from over 2,000 years ago. We're actually becoming an answer to His prayer. Because if you'll remember, the kind of the theme verse for our series is printed at the top of your bulletin there, top of the worship order, John 17, 18. Jesus prayed, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." And so when you and I pray that prayer, God, use me, we're saying, I want to be a part of that. And we're actually fulfilling His wishes, and we become a part of an answer to that prayer. We get to be a part of being sent by Jesus to continue His work, His influence in the world. The truth is, the bottom line is this: God wants to use you to make a difference. You don't have to convince Him. You don't have to earn it in. You don't have to figure it out. God wants to use you to make a difference in the world around you. He wants to put you in the game. I think a lot of times He's just waiting on us to say, game on. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Jesus sent us on a mission. And when He did, He did it in such a way that we have the resources necessary to carry out that mission. We call those resources spiritual gifts. That's what we need to talk about together this morning. We want to talk together about spiritual gifts. And what we're going to realize is that we get to the point where we have to say to ourselves, to God, perhaps to our church, it's time to activate my gifts. It's time for me to make a difference in the world around me, and in order to do that, it's time for me to activate my gifts. Look with me real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, you'll find 1 and 2 Corinthians, big books in the New Testament, just past the Gospels and Romans. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to start at verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. God does not create all of us the same. He did not just kind of make a cookie cutter kind of creation when He put man together. You know, He didn't use a template so that we all come out the same. He created each one of us individually different and with particular gifts, abilities, and talents. And so Paul says those spiritual gifts in particular, There are a variety of those gifts, but they were given by the same Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of ministries in which we can use those gifts, but there's one Lord. Lord means master. There's one Lord to oversee all of those different ministries in which we're using all of our different gifts. Verse 6, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now notice those words very carefully. He says to each one, each believer, every single believer, everyone who truly is a child of God, everyone who really has accepted Christ, to every single one, he has given spiritual gifts. In this translation, it's called the manifestation of the Spirit, but that's what he's talking about. The way that the Holy Spirit shows up in your work, in your life, a gift that he has given you. And it says he has given to every single one. Again, in verse 7, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? So that you can be on the stage every once in a while? So that people will realize how special you are? So that people will talk about what a great guy you are? No. In every case, according to verse 7, in every case, spiritual gifts were given to the believer for the common good. In other words, within the church. To build the church. He gave spiritual gifts to every believer so that when those gifts come together, we make a strong, healthy, powerful, effective, meaningful church. It's a great text, a great lesson from Paul that says we have those spiritual gifts. And beloved, it's time to activate them. And so let's find out how we do that. In order to activate our gifts, the first thing we have to do, we want to be thankful that God has given me gifts. That's where it starts, with my attitude. My attitude is going to determine whether or not I actually activate these gifts. It starts with my attitude. You remember when you're raising your kids, somebody gives your kid something, first words out of your mouth, what do you say? You know, even after the kid's got it, the kid knows to say thank you. But before they even have a chance to say thank you, you jump in there, what do you say? Right? Hey, God has given you gifts. Here's my question, what do you say? That's what we say when we get a gift, we say thank you. Have we ever stopped to say thank you to God for our gifts, our spiritual gifts? Gifts, those things that he put within us by the power of the Holy Spirit that make us different, that he gave to us for the benefit of the church. See, everyone is born with talents, with abilities, with passions. Everyone is. Christian, non-Christian, everyone is born with talents, abilities, certain passions. But when a Christian is reborn, when somebody becomes a Christian, John says there's a rebirth. And in that rebirth, God activates a unique set of spiritual gifts. You're born with talent. You're born with abilities. When you're born again, with spiritual gifts that come alive at that time. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Man, listen to that. You are God's handiwork. You are not a mistake. You are God's handiwork. You are not just some kind of result of an evolutionary experience. You're God's handiwork. That's what it says. Handiwork means masterpiece. When God created you, he created a masterpiece. And he put in you those talents and those abilities and those passions. And then when you trust in Christ, he wakens up those spiritual gifts. And you are the only person in creation throughout all time that has that exact combination of talents, abilities, and gifts. You're God's handiwork, His masterpiece. And you were created, look, in Christ Jesus. You see that? Created in Christ Jesus. Because you were born with those abilities and talents. But it wasn't until you trusted in Christ and really became a Christian that the spiritual gifts were awakened within you. You're created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works. The reason that He gave you those spiritual gifts, woke those up inside of you, the reason that He made you His handiwork is not so that you can pat yourself on the back, but He made you His masterpiece in order that you could do good works, in order that you could serve Him and serve Him by serving others. See that? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Tell me we don't have a purpose. Paul says God had a plan for you, that He had a purpose for you already. God prepared in advance your life's work. And then He created you in just the right way to accomplish that life's work. That's fantastic. Next time we look in the mirror, or next time we get kind of down on ourselves, next time we start thinking, you know, I just ain't all that, and I'm not quite right, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not, and I can't, and blah, blah, blah. Just remember that to a degree, you're actually making a commentary on the One who created you. God, you didn't get it quite right this time. You see, you've got what it takes. He gave you the talents. He gave you the abilities. He woke up those spiritual gifts if you're really a Christian. Be thankful that God has given you those gifts. That's where it starts. The second thing that we have to do in order to really activate our gifts, be proactive in discovering my gifts. Be proactive in discovering my gifts. When you became a Christian, God brought to life those spiritual gifts in you, but He doesn't force them on you. They are there. If you're really a believer, if you've really trusted in Christ and have been born again, those spiritual gifts are there, but He's not going to force them on you. You have to take the initiative to discover them and use them. It's a step of faith on your part. You have to take the initiative to discover them and use them. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. He says, use your gifts. And He tells us why. To serve others. What kind of gifts are there? In its various forms. We all have different gifts. So we're to use them. Well, if I'm going to use my gifts, I really kind of need to know what they are. And so the Scriptures help us again. If you look in your worship folder at that little outline that you have that you can follow with me this morning, down at the bottom of that little outline, you can see a number of the spiritual gifts that are directly described in Scripture. What we did, we took two or three of the lists of spiritual gifts that we find in Scripture. We combined them and put them together into this list. You can see a number of spiritual gifts that specifically addressed by Scripture. I personally believe that there are other gifts out there, that this is not an exhaustive list, but these are the examples that Scripture gives us of the kinds of spiritual gifts that are there. And I'll bet you that if you take just a few minutes of prayer and take time to slow down and think through, I'll bet you that you could check one or two or three of these spiritual gifts. If you pray over it and you take time to think on it, you'll say, you know what? I really am gifted in this area. And I am gifted in this area. To help you along the way, you'll see that other suggested resource there, the Shape Inventory. The Shape Inventory is a great tool. and you can find it at Mardell. You can find it online. Shape, S-H-A-P-E. And what that means, or how that breaks down, is this is you. S is your spiritual gifts. H, your heart, or what you enjoy. A, your abilities. P, your personality. And E, your experience. God uses all of those things to make you you and use you for His glory. So I want to encourage you to find this resource. By the way, we do have a kind of a video-driven, small group type curriculum on this topic. If your small group wants to get into spiritual gifts and learn about your shape, we have some of that curriculum that we could share with you. But I want to encourage you, I want to encourage every one of us this morning to proactively discover our gifts, our spiritual gifts. Use this resource, or you can just go online and Google spiritual gifts inventory, and you'll see half a dozen pop up, and it's very easy. You just answer those questions and think through it and pray over it, and you will begin to see your spiritual gifts. And then as you discover them, you want to make sure and begin to use them. 1 Timothy 4 says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Paul is talking to young Timothy, and he says, buddy, you got some gifts. Don't neglect them. Use them. And I think Paul would say the very same thing to us this morning. Do not neglect your gifts. Be proactive in discovering them. Moving quickly now, number three, be quick to use my gifts. In order to activate my gifts, first, I have to be thankful that God has given me gifts. Second, I want to be proactive in discovering what they are. And then third, be quick to use my gifts. It's time to say to God, "Put me in, coach." It's time to say, "Game on. I've been sitting and watching too long. I'm ready to get in the game, make a difference in my world. I'm ready to use my gifts." We hesitate sometimes because we're too busy or we feel inadequate. Put all the excuses aside. You are too busy. So is everybody else. You are inadequate. So is everybody else. That's kind of the point. So you just decide, I'm going to discover my gifts, and then I'm going to get in the game, and I'm going to start using them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you, no excuses. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And that takes us to the fourth thing that I want to do to activate my gifts. Be diligent to use my gifts to serve others. Be diligent to use my gifts to serve others. If I can remember that's what it's all about, then I can begin to activate those gifts in my life and make a difference in the world around me. Romans 12 says, if your gifts are serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, some of those things, as you know, as you can see already, some of those things are expected and required of all believers. You know, some have the gift of evangelism. In reality, we're all called to evangelism. However, some have a special gift for evangelism, but that doesn't mean that we're not all called to it. We're all called to give in some way. Some have a special gift of giving, all right? So don't get confused by that. Some of the gifts that we talk about are for all of us. However, there are some people that God has chosen to specially gift in that area. So Romans 7 says, whatever your gift is, do it. Get busy. Romans chapter 6, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. To activate your gifts, you say, you know what, God, I'm ready to get in the game. Thank you for my gifts. Help me discover what they are. I'm going to start using them, and I'm going to use them to serve others. And in so doing, what you're saying to God is, here am I. I offer every part of myself to you as an instrument of righteousness. Are you ready to do that this morning? To offer every part of yourself to Him? Say, God, it's time, and I'm ready. It's time for you to use me. I want you to start activating those gifts. I want you to lead me in the right way that I can be used to make a difference in my world. And so I give you my whole life. We're going to sing together our hymn 665. And as we sing this great prayer, Master, let me walk with you. As we ask Him, let me walk with you. I want to encourage you to think those things through. And if today is the day for you to say, I've never trusted Christ personally, like Pam said, many of us get it, the concept. We have an intellectual understanding, but not a personal relationship. She reminded us there's a big difference. Today, if you'd say, you know what, I need that personal relationship with Jesus so that He can make me who He created me to be. He can wake up those spiritual gifts and use me the way He created me to be used. I want you to give your life to Jesus this morning if you've never really done that. Come and let me pray with you and trust Him personally. Maybe you already know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, your personal Lord. And maybe He calls you as a Christian to join this church or to enter into missions or ministry or to follow through in obedience and get baptized. If God calls you to a commitment like that, come and let us pray with you. If God speaks to you and says, today I just want it to be between you and me and I want you to make a commitment to use your gifts, I would encourage you just to come and pray privately at the altar. A recommitment, rededication that I'm going to get in the game and use my gifts. Perhaps He calls you just to pray at the altar. If you come, we'll leave you alone and let you pray. Let's stand together. If God's calling you to make a commitment in a public way, come and let us pray with you.